This morning we want to consider the topic of generosity. We want to think about giving. And as we think about that, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount and picking out some high points there. But this really comes from the parallel, what's often called the Sermon on the Plain, from Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 in particular. Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So we want to consider this as well as some other things that the Bible has to say about giving. And we're not talking particularly about the contribution, the collection, the offering that we have in our worship. We're just talking about giving in general. When Jesus says this, he's not just talking about them taking their tithes to the temple. That wasn't the point. He's talking about just being a giving person, a person who gives and shares with others. So we want to consider some of those things as we go through this morning, as we consider generosity and how being a generous person, being a giving person, will work out to our benefit. We will gain from it. And sometimes it seems an odd thing. But I know if we think about it, we'll recognize how sometimes these things seem contradictory. They're oxymorons. They seem to be the opposite. They're paradoxes. They seem to be things that don't belong together, that wouldn't go together, that wouldn't work out that way, and yet they do, and we know that they do. For example, when we think about it in terms of business, who would I rather do business with? Who would you rather do business with? Would you rather do business with the restaurant that charges you every time they refill your drink? Or would we rather do business with the business that offers the free refills? Now, simply from a monetary standpoint, someone would look at that and say, okay, now, if you give away free refills on the drinks, you're going to lose money on that because you're giving something away for nothing. On paper, that's what that looks like. In reality, what that looked like, probably the first people that started offering those free refills may not have even realized it at the time. They were just being kind and generous. Maybe they had an idea of how it would work out. But what happened was people were much more likely to come to their restaurant than the one next door that didn't offer the free refills, because they could get more value for their money. And so their business increased as a result of that, and it wound up paying off. Now, sometimes we may go into a situation thinking, well, if I'll be generous so that it'll pay off for me. And going into it with that attitude is not the idea, and that's not what we're trying to get here. But what we need to understand is that sometimes doing something out of generosity that seems kind of backwards actually works out better in the long run. And it worked that way in the situation with the idea of the free drinks. A free refills on the drinks. Let's consider a few things as we begin. Notice here in Luke 6:38, he talks about the same measure. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. But notice what he says. It's going to be given back to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So he's saying, okay, you gave a cup, then you're going to get back a cup. You ever notice that with you know, you scoop out a cup of something, and if you kind of shake it, it kind of settles a little, doesn't it? And then you can put a little bit more on top. And then if you press it down, well, then you could put a little bit more on top. And then, of course, if you heap it up to the point that it's overflowing. So if you just scoop a cup and you give somebody a cup, a leveled off scooped cup of flour or sugar or whatever, that's not the same amount as if you scoop it up, press it down, shake it together, and fill it to overflowing. And what Jesus is telling us is, if we're just out there giving out the cups, then we're going to get the cup back pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. We're going to get back more than we gave. Now, it's not always more of the exact same thing. Now, somebody says, well, hey, that's a great idea. So what I'll do is I'll go out and give everybody $10, and I'll get back 11 or 12 for every 10 I gave, and boy, that'll be great for me. It's not always going to work out quite like that. You may give somebody the $10 or $20 for gas money, and what you may get back may be something completely different. Down the road, your car may break down, and somebody may help give you a ride to the mechanic. That may be what you get. You know, it may not always be exactly, well, I gave somebody $100, and I got $110 back in the mail the next day. It doesn't work like that. You see these things on Facebook all the time if you're ever on there. Well, do this and pass this on, and God's going to bless you with this and that and the other thing. God's not a magic genie. It doesn't work that way. But that's the kind of attitude that some people have, and they read a verse like this, and they think, hey, if I give it, then I get back more of the same thing. You don't always get back more of the exact same thing that you gave. For example, you may give of your time, and what you get back may be some money. You may give of your time, and what you get back may be some kindness. You may give of your time, and what you may get back may be a batch of fresh-baked cookies from somebody. You don't always know what exactly you're going to get back, but that you're going to be blessed. And the more you give, the more you're going to be blessed. Now, occasionally, it may actually be the same thing. But there's no guarantee that it'll be the same thing. He says the same measure will be used. He doesn't say the same materials will be used to give it back to you. And then we see 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11, really from verses 7 through 10 also focuses on a part of this. But verses 6 through 11, that whole section, he talks about reaping as you sow. Whatever you sow, that's how you're going to reap. If you sow just a little bit, then you're just going to get a little bit. You know, can you imagine the farmer that's got 100 acres and he says, you know, I think I'm going to get 10 seeds and plant them out there in that 100 acres. Well, he's not going to have much of a crop, is he? He planted 10 seeds on that 100 acres of land. It's going to be a pretty pitiful crop. He'd be lucky if four or five of those things come up and produce anything. And another fellow may say, well, you know, I got 100 acres, but, you know, I don't want to waste it all. I'm just going to plant 10 of it, 10 acres. I'll plant 10 acres and leave the other 90. Well, he's certainly going to get a better crop than the first guy, isn't he? But he's still, his crop's going to be limited. But then the other guy says, you know, I got 100 acres. I'm going to plant 100 acres. And I'm going to plant it full up all the way to the edges. Well, which one do you think is going to get the most crop at the end of the year? It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. The more you plant, the more you get. Assuming it doesn't all get destroyed. But that's just the general process of the way that growing things work. God says, the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And he's talking about giving here and how the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But then we also see in this same section that God will multiply what is sown. He takes, isn't it an amazing thing? Of course, it has to work that way or we'd all be in trouble. What if you planted one kernel of corn and a plant came up that produced one kernel of corn? Well, you'd never be able to get anywhere, would you? Because you'd have to save that one to plant again the next year. You'd never have any corn to eat, would you? What if you planted one kernel of wheat and a plant came up and it produced one kernel of wheat? Well, that's not accomplishing anything. And so obviously God multiplies that. You plant that one kernel of wheat and it shoots up a stalk that has 50 or 100 kernels on it. And the same thing with the corn. Sometimes you plant a kernel of corn, it'll come up, there'll be four or five ears on that corn stalk, and each one of those ears will have 100 on it. And you could wind up 400 or 500 or more. Well, that's the idea that God will multiply this seed. Notice verse 10. Now may the one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God will work it so that when we do this good and we give, it winds up being multiplied. It winds up growing. It's not just one act of goodness and kindness. That inspires other acts of goodness and kindness. That one thing winds up exploding and spreading and causing many good acts as a result of it. And so we need to consider those things as we consider giving. First of all, we want to notice that giving is sharing with others. Now, of course, we're coming up on Christmas time, and a lot of people are thinking about giving. Some people have already been doing some giving. Of course, there are some people that are thinking about getting at Christmas time. But those that think about giving understand that it's sharing with others. Although, I've heard some studies that say that 70% of the people who go out Christmas shopping every year, while they're out there doing that lovely giving idea and buying presents for people that they're going to give them, 70% of people buy themselves a gift. Well, that's not really giving. It's not really a gift if you buy it for yourself. But it is something that we often do. Now, obviously, all of us buy ourselves things. You know, we buy the things that we need or the things that we want. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's not confuse ourselves and think, oh, I'm giving so many gifts this year. I mean, I bought myself this and I bought myself that. No, that's not giving. Giving is when we're sharing it with others, when we're giving others things. 2 Corinthians 8:13 through 15, he says, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." Now, of course, Paul's talking about us as Christians. We're not all always going to have exact equality and have exactly the same thing. But it should never be the case that there is a fellow brother or sister who is in need, and the fellow Christians haven't met that need. That should not be the case. If there's a need, if there is a true lack, then any abundance that the rest of us have, we should be willing to share that with that one who has a need, who has a lack. Now, we're not talking about, you know, big screen TVs or new cars here. We're talking about needs. We're talking about, and chances are that very few of us here today have ever really been in need of anything. We've very rarely probably ever been in that circumstance. But if we were to be in that circumstance, could we, would we come to our brothers and sisters in Christ with that? And on the other side of that, if a brother and sister in Christ did have a need, did come to us with a need, would we help with that? Or would we just say, well, you know, you should have taken better care of things earlier on so you didn't get yourself in this situation? Which way are we going to respond when there actually is a need? Of course, we are abundantly blessed in this country so that even many of the poor in this country have more than many people in other countries, but that doesn't mean there's no one with need. There are still those who have a need, and we need to do what we can to help level off those needs, fulfill those needs. We're God's servants. We're God's children. We're His hands and His feet to go and to do those things for Him that He has promised. You know, when God promised His children that He would provide for them, He often does that through fellow Christians. He doesn't just miraculously drop some food down or drop some clothes down for His children to have. He uses His other children to take care of those needs. So we need to consider that. And we need to consider the possibility that what about sometime when we may have a need? And again, you know, we're talking about physical sustenance right now, but But what about a spiritual need? What about a time where we may need someone to pray for us? We may need someone to be there for us. Maybe we need someone to sit with us at the doctor, or maybe we need someone to go with us to when we're going to surgery, or maybe we even need someone to drive us. You know, someone was talking about having to have an eye surgery. You know, if you have to have an eye surgery, you're not supposed to drive yourself. You need somebody to drive you. You may have all sorts of different needs. What about those times when it's just a really hard time emotionally? About those times when we're grieving because we've lost a loved one and we need somebody to talk to, or we need somebody to just sit and listen? Are we there for each other? Do we give when we have an abundance and others have a lack, so that there'll be others to give when we have that need, when we have that lack? And then, of course, giving is sharing with others. It means to share. We have to actually do the sharing. Talking about it's all good and fine, but if we don't carry out the actual sharing part of it, we've accomplished nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Paul says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And then, of course, that sharing needs to be a sacrificial sharing. Now, any sharing is nice, but when we're really talking about giving, when we're really talking about putting into practice what God has called us to do, we're talking about sacrificial sharing. Hebrews 13:16 says, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." What am I willing to give up in order to share? Am I only sharing from that I don't need or want anyway? Do you understand what I'm asking? Are we just saying, "Well, you know, I got this extra thing laying over here that I hadn't used for 20 years. Let me give that to somebody." Well, now that person may appreciate that thing, but I haven't really sacrificed anything. I hadn't given up anything. In fact, you know, it was just junk that I needed out of my house. Anyway, am I really giving? Is it costing me something to give? And we're going to get to that a little further in detail a little later on. The Bible teaches us to give or to loan, although you got to be careful with loaning. It'll get you into other kinds of troubles. But Matthew 5:42 says, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn him away." You know, sometimes we're so concerned. Well, that person's asking me for this. What are they going to do with it? Jesus didn't tell us to worry about that. That's not our job to decide what they do with it. He just said, give to the one that asks you. Now, obviously, sometimes we don't have it to give, and we can't give. And God understands that, certainly. He doesn't expect us to give if we can't, if we don't have anything to give. But many times, we easily could give, and we just refuse. Either out of selfishness, or out of judgmentalism, or whatever other reason, we just don't give. We won't let somebody borrow something. We won't let somebody have something. The second thing we want to notice is that giving is doing good and showing concern. You know, sometimes we don't realize all of the things that are involved with giving. Giving is something that is to be done to all. We're to do good to all, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now there's a couple things here, and we'll just hit these real quick. Number one, opportunity. First, you have to have something to be able to give it for it to be an opportunity. Secondly, you have to know of someone who has a need for there to be that opportunity. So those are the two parts. You know, you have to have it and you have to know of the need. And then you have an opportunity. And he says, do good to all, but especially to the household of faith. Now that tells me, if we've got a stranger down the street that's hungry, and we've got a brother or sister in Christ that's hungry, and we could only feed one of them, then the one we feed is the brother or sister in Christ. But if all the brothers and sisters in Christ are all eating well and they're doing okay, and then the fellow down the street is hungry, then I need to feed the fellow down the street. But I give preference to my brothers and sisters in Christ if they have a need. I take care of their needs first, and then I move on to the others around me. But this indicates to me I would take care of a brother or sister in Christ even before someone in my physical family that was not a Christian. The household of faith especially, they get special treatment because they're children of God. And then he says it's, of course, showing concern for others, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. You're concerned about others, that they have what they need. You're showing concern for them. And then it's to seek the other's well-being, 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And do we ever do that? Don't we always seek our own first? True sacrificial giving. You know, we talk about, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Do any of us ever love our neighbor as ourselves? I mean, really? When you get right down to it? Love your neighbor as yourself means if I got two steaks, I'll eat one and I'll give my neighbor one. Well, what do most of us do? I got two steaks and I got two hamburgers. I'll eat the two steaks, I'll give my neighbor the two hamburgers. That's what most of us do. That's not loving your neighbor like yourself. But beyond that, the Bible teaches us as Christians to put one another higher. We put the other person higher than self. That's even more difficult for us to comprehend, and certainly more difficult for us to carry out. Do we put our fellow Christians' needs above our own? Would we? And you see it sometimes in these, you know, survival type situation of a movie, and here's the person that's so sacrificial that they give up their meal to give it to somebody else and they go hungry. See, that's giving. That's when it hurts to give, but when it really is meaningful, when something like that happens. Now, it's always in the movies. You don't read a lot about that happening in real life, though, do we? But there are probably some examples of it. But the people that are doing it aren't out there with the sign and cameras, hey, look what I'm doing. They're just out there quietly doing what Jesus has taught. It's a matter of meeting needs. And that's one key that we need to continue to focus on. Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality, Paul talks about here. Distributing to the needs. You know, we give a lot of gifts that are wants, don't we? That's what we're really giving most of the time, Christmas presents. We're giving people things they want. Well, things we hope they want. We hope they'll like them. We're not giving needs. That's how blessed we are in this country. It used to be, I remember my parents talking about when they were kids at Christmas, you know, they'd get a pair of socks and maybe an orange or an apple. And they were just on top of the world if they got a pair of socks and an orange or an apple. They weren't getting video games and cell phones and all these kinds of things. New cars and things for Christmas. You know. We forget how far we've come from those hard days sometimes. But certainly, there is the matter of meeting the needs. It's not our responsibility to make sure everybody's got what they want. And when it comes to giving, that's not what Jesus is telling us to do. Well, if people want things, just give them what they want. He's talking about needs. He's talking about necessities of life, physically and spiritually. All right, quickly then, we got to move along. It eliminates the love of self or the love of money. When we give, it kills selfishness. And we need to be sure we do that. Matthew 6:1-4. Jesus talks about that. He talks about not doing it out of selfish motives. Giving is doing without the praise of men. And that's Matthew 6:1-4. I'm sorry, the last one was 2 Timothy 3:2. Matthew 6:1-4, he talks about not doing it to be seen. It's not about how much promotion for self I get out of this. When I give, it's because I love God, because He loved me, because He gave to me, so I freely give to others. Not for the praise of men, but for the praise of the Father in heaven. And that needs to be our focus on our giving. It's to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, not to please others. And then the fourth thing we want to notice, giving is not determined by what you have, but what you have left after giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, the people there were liberal in their poverty. You know, sometimes we think about, we often hear, liberal is a bad thing. Well, it's not when it comes to generosity, not at all. Being liberal in our giving is a good thing. We need to give. And he talks about the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You think about these folks who apparently were fairly impoverished, and yet they gave. And I've seen statistics from various years that kind of show that this is a lot of times the way it works. I've seen just statistics showing in the United States, you know, certain states the income is higher than other states, and I'm sure we've had it pounded into our heads 100,000 times that Mississippi, you know, we're the poor state. This is the lowest average income of all the states. But you know what I found interesting when I was looking at some of those studies and some of those statistics? You know what state leads the nation, or is at least at the top two or three almost every year regarding charitable giving? It's Mississippi. That's amazing, isn't it? All those rich states, they don't give. Wonder why. But there's something about having a generous mindset, even in spite of poverty. And maybe it's because those who've been poor and know what it's like to have a need and to need something are more willing to help someone who is in need than those that have maybe were born with the silver spoon in their throat and never knew what it was like to have a need. Maybe that's the case. But then also we notice it's not what you give, but how much you sacrifice that matters. In 2 Samuel, you remember David, there's a difficult situation and people are dying, they're being punished, and he comes, he's going to give an offering, and he comes to the threshing floor of Araunah, and Araunah offers to just give it to him and say, here, give it, you can have it so that you can make the sacrifice. And David says, no, I'm going to buy it because I will not give the Lord something that cost me nothing. But how often do we give something that didn't cost us a thing? And of course, there's the young boy who went to Santa Claus and he said, I want two trucks and two teddy bears, two video games, two remote control cars. Santa asked him, well, why do you want two of everything? And the boy said, well, so I can share. Isn't that our idea sometimes? If I had more than I need, if I had two of it, then I could share. Well, see, it's not really sharing if I have my own and you have one. But if I have to share mine with you, that's sharing. Giving is a way of laying up treasure in heaven. We can lay up treasure on earth, but that's not a good idea. Matthew 6:19, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Or we can lay up our treasure in heaven. Luke 12:33, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old. A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moths destroy. And Ecclesiastes 5:13 tells us that riches that are kept hurt us. So there is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his own hurt. It's a dangerous thing when we fall in love with money, when we fall in love with riches, and it can cause us hurt. So as we conclude, we need to consider these things. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, is God multiplying my resources so that I have more to give? If not, it may be because I'm selfishly using my money or my talents or my time or whatever it is on myself. James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You see, God's not going to continue to give us more just so that we can be more and more selfish with it. He's going to give us more if we're willing to be generous with it. If you give God your life, He will see to it that you have the abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God's made the promise. If we'll give, we'll get more than we gave. We will benefit more than what it costs us. But we've got to put our faith and trust in Him and believe that what He says, even though it may sound contradictory to us, just like those free refills at the restaurant, it sounds like a losing proposition. But if we trust Him, we'll come out a winner every time. If you need to respond to God's invitation, either to give Him your life, or perhaps to give Him some portion of your life that you've been holding back, or just perhaps because you have not been being the kind of generous person that you should be. If you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.